Grace, mercy, and peace to each one of you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Would you please bow your head with me? Oh, gracious Father, we are gathered here in your name, and we ask you that you would keep your promise that when your word goes forth, it will not return void, but will accomplish that for which you sent it forth. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. The Apostle Paul had great fondness for his friends in Ephesus. And you can see how fond of him they were when you read in the book of Acts how they are weeping all over him when he says goodbye to them. The letter that he wrote to them has a great doctrinal portion there at the beginning for several chapters, and then he moves on to practical matters, and finally, we come to chapter 6, and just before he ends his letter, we now get another glimpse of his great concern for their soul. It is this portion where our lesson is found for this morning in chapter 6. And before he concludes his letter, he wants to make sure that they remember two vitally important concepts. The Holy Spirit has had them written down, not just for them, but also for our instruction as well. What are those lessons that he wants them to learn? Well, the first is an awareness of our enemy, our spiritual enemy. And the second is that we are to fight with God's weapons, that enemy. We begin with verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. It's reminiscent, isn't it, of yesterday's message where we talked about Samson. And it's hard to believe, but maybe he was just a 90-pound weakling until the Holy Spirit came upon him. Because every time that he did something important, it says before he did it, it says that the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And then he slew the Philistines or did whatever he did, right? That's when he was strong, was in the Lord and in his strength. That's when we are strong, is in the Lord and in his strength. We go on, verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. We'll stop there for a minute at the end of verse 12. Paul wants us to be aware of our enemy, and he piles one upon another of the descriptions here of our enemy. But embedded within these descriptions are three characteristics I'd like to point out this morning. First of all, our enemy is a scheming enemy, right? Remember that part of the passage? That you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. He plots and he plans your destruction. How he can take you down, drag you down and eventually get you to deny the Lord Jesus himself. That's his goal, to drag you into hell with him. He's a scheming enemy. That ought to be a sobering thought, that while you were sleeping last night, he was up scheming, plotting, planning for your destruction, he and his demons. They already have plans laid out for you today. And I wonder, his plans for you for the day are already well made. How about your plans to deal with him? Have you been plotting? Have you been scheming how you might fight him? So often we stupidly, at least I do, just walk right into his traps because I have no plans of my own to deal with his temptation. First off, he's a scheming enemy. Secondly, he's a spiritual enemy. He and his army of demons. We can't see them, but we wrestle not against flesh and blood, St. Paul says. You know what that means? It means the enemy is not the person you're mad at. I used to think maybe it was my mom and dad sometimes. It wasn't them. That's not the enemy. It wasn't my brother, although he made a pretty good approximation sometimes. But it wasn't him. It's not your roommate. It's not your teachers. It's not your students. It's not the person who humiliated you. Those are just people who need our prayers. There are spiritual forces behind them, manipulating weak people and sometimes manipulating even strong Christians in a moment of their weakness, right? If you want a glimpse into these battles that go on into the spiritual world, the world we cannot see, and there's activity going on all around us, you should read Daniel chapter 10. And read about an angel who visits Daniel and says to Daniel, "Daniel, your prayers have been answered, but I was withstood for 21 days by the prince of Persia until Michael came to help me." Wow. So he's a scheming enemy. Secondly, he's a spiritual enemy. And thirdly, he's a powerful enemy. Who is it? Well, it's principalities and powers, St. Paul says. Rulers of the darkness of this age, the spiritual hosts of wickedness, that's the spiritual armies of wickedness in the heavenly places. I find it interesting that when the demons that the devil sends out to fight against Christians, he sends out, well, not the little piker demons, he sends out his elite forces against the Christians, right? He doesn't send out the ones who just got their learner's permit. That's just, what a thought that is. Against the little humble believer in Jesus, Satan sends his elite troops. He sends them against you. They are powerful. But you know what? There is a champion on our side who is more powerful. And he defeated the devil, and he defeated all of the powers of hell itself. You know, when most armies fight, they use the same weapons against each other. If one side is using bombs, the other side is using bombs. One side using rifles, the other side is too. Machine guns and so forth. But Jesus did not fight the devil on his terms. In fact, he took what Satan and mankind did to him on the cross, and he made an instrument of victory and salvation out of it. Victory because he defeated on that cross the entire army of hell. And salvation, because he through that cross has wiped away every sin that you have ever said or thought or done. He gives that victory to you, gives that salvation to you freely. And along with it, he also gives you weapons with which to fight the attacks of Satan's armies that are still going on until the end. Because they are Christ's weapons, we can win. What are they? Well, let's listen. We continue with verse 13. "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." Now you notice all of those are weapons for our... They're really not weapons, actually, in the way we think of weapons today. They're actually protective instruments for us, right? A shield, a breastplate of righteousness. All except one. There is one offensive weapon. All the rest are defensive. And the offensive one is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Right? I'd like to quote Martin Luther here. Here is something that he says about our battle with the devil. He says, "Here it is not enough that we defend ourselves against the devil with faith and hope as our shield and helmet, but we must also draw the sword and go for him with such insistence that he must fall back and flee, and thus obtain the victory over him." Commentator, writing about what Luther wrote, says this: "Since the word of God is this weapon, it behooves us to make use of it at all times. And to this end, to become acquainted with it, both by means of public preaching and by earnest Bible study at home. Cursory reading must be supplemented by careful memorizing of proof texts and strong passages. Only in this way shall we be able to make proper use of the Word of God as a true weapon of offense at all times. That's how we prepare for Him. That's how we make our plans, by memorizing and using the Word of God. I want to close with a true story. Maybe you've heard this story. It's by a true story about a guy named Leroy Imes. He was a soldier in World War II, and he was in the Marines, and they were getting ready to storm one of the islands in the South Pacific, and they had just arrived on the beach, and here's what he says. Shortly after we hit the beach, our armored amphibious tank took two artillery shells broadside. We immediately evacuated our disabled vehicle and darted from hole to hole toward the enemy airstrip, which we were to take. The sergeant began to check on us to make sure that we were okay. He crawled over to me and asked, "You all right, Imes?" I answered, "Yeah, I'm okay, Sarge." He looked at me and asked, "Imes, where is your helmet?" I felt the top of my head and answered, "Must be in the tank, Sarge." "Where's your duty belt?" Our duty belts carried ammunition for our rifles, a canteen of water, and a bayonet. "Must be in the tank, Sarge." "As a matter of fact, Imes, where's your rifle?" He looked at me with disgust and pity. And I just find that to be very funny, don't you? He looked at me with disgust and pity. Because I can see myself being Imes, right? Because of our hasty departure from the amphibious tank, I was dressed about the same way I would be dressed for a game of volleyball. And there I was, hopping from hole to hole, from tree to tree. Can you imagine that? On the battlefield, with no protection and no weapon. But there he was. Don't be that guy. Take up the weapons that he gives you and take on the devil with those weapons. With God's weapons, you can win. Would you please bow your head with me? Lord God, dear Father, you have sent your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, to take upon himself our flesh so that he might overcome the devil and defend us, poor sinners, against the adversary. We give thanks to you for your merciful help, and now we ask that you would attend us with your grace in all temptations. Preserve us from carnal security, and by your Holy Spirit, keep us in your word and in your fear, that we may be delivered from the enemy and obtain eternal salvation. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you all. Amen.